right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789 in Texas at that same number. Sandy, you remember that one?
Hey, Jude, absolutely.
That was actually one of my all-time favorite records, Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Rocky Raccoon? I think it was in the same album, maybe, huh?
Yeah. I had just at the time that the Beatles were around, and you know, Ed Sullivan, the first time I got to see him, and just all of hit after hit after hit, they were prolific, and you just think that's one of the groups that will stand the test of time.
Well, they already have.
Yeah, people who have no idea or nowhere around if they hear many of those songs today, mm-hmm. they would say, oh, that's a great tune.
I mean, we're talking about a group that started well over 50 years ago.
Yeah, you keep talking about 50 years ago.
I know.
I guess that makes us a couple geezers.
Well, I don't know about it. People have told me about it.
Man, let's talk a little bit about freedoms, and I was asking you during the break, can you have too many freedoms? Is it, when you look at other nations, and I can't say that ever that it's good that your every movement is regulated. I don't think that's a good sign. That's good for anybody. I think humans are better off when we have freedoms to you know, reach our fullest potential, and I think there's a lot to be said about that. I think many of these people from other nations, if they would have that kind of freedoms, I think their nations would be a lot better off, because the people would be a lot better off. You know, I don't know. I haven't had a chance to interact with a lot of different people from around the world. You have. You ever notice that they're a little leery?
Well, sure. I mean, when I was traveling in China, it was clear that if I talked to the tour guide or whoever else that was Chinese, and you ask them a question that might relate directly to politics, you could see that they were getting as careful as you or I might get about insulting someone who was advertising our show or something.
Right.
I think the question is when and how should a government circumscribe freedoms, and what kind of freedoms? I think the freedom of expression is particularly fundamental, and the idea of squashing people's thoughts is a very difficult one, and I think it's been one that has been, since time immemorial of governments, been one that people worried about in Greece and elsewhere. But you know, should we require people to wear seatbelts? Should we require people to get vaccinated? Should we require people to get drafted into the army? That's certainly a circumscription of freedom, right? Is there a public requirement? Is there a community public requirement and interest that overwhelms the ability of someone to just make any old decision about themselves? And yes, of course. And you know, we need laws that circumscribe our activities vis-a-vis one another. You know, how are we required to treat one another? What's criminal? What isn't? What's restricted? What isn't? These things all are fundamental kinds of things. Hobbes and Locke and all these old philosophers long ago thought about it, talked about it, and we need to keep talking about it. But should any society be absolutely free and without restrictions on freedoms? Absolutely not. You know, you can't have that. There has to be a communal recognition of community responsibility and constraints that are obligated to the community. If your community has a risk of getting bubonic plague and you catch them from rats, should you be allowed to have a pet rat? No.
No, absolutely not.
No. I mean, so, you know, that I'm just saying that the community is entitled, if you're going to be a member of a community and derive all the benefits that are derived from being in a society, then that society is undoubtedly entitled to restrict your absolute freedoms in some fashion. But which freedoms? Now we're talking about, a serious debate, and we need to talk about that at the time that we impose them so the public understands. I would criticize the government for how we talked about vaccine and how we talked about masks, because we talked about it as if we were saving people from themselves, And what we were really trying to do is save society and save everybody, not somebody, okay? And if we had talked about it saying this is a patriotic responsibility to this country, just like going to war in a time of war and being in the military, I think the public could have had a different reaction.
So those members of the public who pushed against being vaccinated, and should they still have the same freedoms as those folk who did get vaccinated?
That struck me as a particularly unusual notion of freedom, because people make personal choices, and those personal choices can have positives and benefits and positives and negatives associated with them. And, you know, if you don't want to get vaccinated, fine, but you might not be able to climb on an airplane that will require vaccinations in order for you to get on the airplane. And is that, do you have a right to get on an airplane? The fact is, you probably don't have an absolute right to get on an airplane. You don't have a right to get on an airplane if you're going to carry a gun. Do you have an absolute right to carry a gun? Well, we talk about that quite a bit, but not on an airplane.
You know, same thing with restaurants. You won't let me in the restaurant because I don't want to wear a mask. Why should I then be denied access to the restaurant? Well, the people who are in there and all of them have said, well, this is the requirement.
Yeah.
That should supersede what it is you're talking about.
You know, right? Why do you wear pants? No, I mean, really, there are just questions of public, the public norms. But some, you know, you can't come in here if you're barefoot. Okay,
right.
Put on shoes.
Or don't wear a shirt. Right.
Yeah, wear a shirt. The idea that people's rights are absolute. This idea that there's a constitutional right. There might be a constitutional issue associated with the mandate of having a vaccine, and you need to have a public interest that's sufficient to support the mandate to overcome the personal freedom of saying, no, I won't get vaccinated.
Do you think the coronavirus was that?
Yes, it probably was. You know, at least as it was perceived in the beginning, yes. And I think it probably was even perceived retroactively. But does that mean you have a constitutional right to go to a movie theater without a mask? No, there's no constitutional right embedded in that. If the government said you can't go to that movie without a mask on, the government would have to justify what the interest of the public is in wearing masks sufficient to support it.
So let's do this. Who do we have on the line, Sam?
Andy from Beaver Dam's calling in for you.
Hey, Andy, how you doing, man? Long time no hear from.
Yeah, man. Don't you think that our president at the time of the discovery of the epidemic or the pandemic had a lot to do with the respect? I mean, the government made mistakes in presenting what we should do to safeguard everybody, but do you think that right from the onset in February of 2020, do you think that had a definite set the tone for the reaction of the public after the whole thing got started, for sure.
I mean, he started out by saying everyone, you know, basically the subliminal message to the Trumpists was COVID is nothing but the flu, so let's not make a mountain out of a molehill. This is just not a problem. That was his first reaction, and that was his long-term reaction. He'd had that reaction for months. And then when he realized that there were people out there, the right that hates the government in every form, that was rejecting the notion of wearing masks, he decided to lead the mask protest, essentially, subliminally, with his dog whistle. And so, yeah, Trump was a scientific naysayer whose dog whistle to his people was to drum up the doubts that they should maybe have about the science as it was being presented. I do think the science wasn't well presented, but I think Trump had a lot to do through his dog whistle politics with creating the backlash.
Yeah, I fully agree on that. I think that he really didn't help matters, and he had disassembled some of the stuff that Obama had put in place as far as detection or how to be prepared for a pandemic when he got into office, you know, and so I don't know. But
Hey Dan, thank you. Thank you very much for the call, as always. I really appreciate it. Dave.
Andy.
No, Andy.
Yeah. We got you,
Dave. Yeah. Dave, Andy.
So, Sandy, let me... after what we've just gone through with this, what do you foresee, you know, in the coming, you know, years? Have we learned our lessons?
No, unfortunately, I think our country is not a lesson-learning country. I think we have a part of our culture that is so headstrong, and that I'm not sure what lessons we learn exactly. You know, we tend to make mistakes over and over again. We tend to be, I think it's part of our exceptionalism. I'm not sure we recognize that we make mistakes. And so, you know, a company that doesn't recognize the problems they have in their assembly line never fixes them. And I think we're a country that puts its head in the sand about mistakes we might be making, situational errors we make, errors in international judgment. You know, we went to Vietnam, we went to Afghanistan, we went to Iraq.
And left the same way.
And we left the same way in all those places. And what did we learn from them? I don't think we learned much. And now I hear your colleague Matt Flynn, right before we came on, saying we ought to be sending MiGs and things to Ukraine so we could accelerate and create. I don't know what there. That's a very different environment than the European American environment, the Eurasian environment, and. We need to tread carefully there, and I think happily our administration is, but people who haven't thought it through carefully, maybe, or people who have knee-jerk reactions that are military in instinct, or people who just like the idea of punching the other guy in the nose, want to send planes and heavily arm and get involved with a war in Ukraine.
You know, Sandy, it's that's who we are. As a nation, and like you said, we don't consider how we look to the rest of the world,
and we don't recognize our shortcomings.
Yeah, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.